Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're in Anucheda 16. We're discussing a shloka from the 11th canto, 3rd chapter, that Jiva Goswami tells us, explains how, or affirms that the energy of the Lord is swabhavika. Pradyumna Prabhu once asked Prabhupada what that swabhavika would mean, what it means in the verse, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Swabhaviki. So Prabhupada said autonomous as the answer. Just like you had in the Soviet Union, autonomous republics. Well, actual autonomous means you give some freedom, but it's not independent. So the energies of the Lord belong to his eternal spiritual nature. They're non-different from him, but they act on their own. They're autonomous. They're empowered to act. They're empowered with consciousness. They're empowered with their own capacities, the internal energies. Actually, all the energies belong to the Lord. They're swabhavika in a sense, even the material energies. Because the verse that we're quoting talks about the material energies. They're also swabhavika. They're his energies, and he empowers them to act on his behalf with some liberty, freedom. Okay, the verse was Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Trivid Ekam Adau Sutram Mahan Aham Iti Pavadanti Jivam Gana Kriyarta Fala Rupatayoru Shakti Brahmaiva Bhati Sadasatcha Tayok Paramyat. Originally one, the absolute Brahman, comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Brahman further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness become manifested, followed by false ego. Well, okay, first come the Mahatattva and its further expansion, the Sutra Tattva. The Mahatattva is basically in the mode of goodness. Well, it's all three modes, but the mode of goodness is prominent in it, and therefore it reflects consciousness. The Sutra Tattva, the next evolved state of the Mahatattva, has a predominance of the motive passion. That's simply the difference, is that motive passion is more prominent. So it's active. It manifests the potency of activity. And then false ego manifests. This is the natural order of creation. Continuing, the verse, authorities declared that all these are non-different from the spirit soul. Okay, taking spirit soul in a generic sense, God and the jivas are all spirit soul. As the multipotencies of the absolute expand, there appear consciousness and activity, their objectives, and the final goal of life. In this way, Brahman becomes the subtle causes and effects of creation. At the same time, Brahman remains transcendental to all subtle and gross material manifestations. So we're into the explanation by Jiva Goswami of this verse. We're in the second part of the Anucheda 16.2. No. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Shakti Swabhavika Rupatvam. Those are the same words that were at the beginning of the previous paragraph. Shakti Swabhavika Rupatvam Supramanam Spashtayati Adau Yad Ekam Brahma Tadeva Sattvam Rajastama Iti Trivit Pradhanam. Okay. These are explaining words from the verse. That his energy manifests naturally is further explained with authoritative evidence by stating that the one Brahman, which was alone in the beginning, becomes threefold as the Pradhana, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Okay. Brahman expands into material nature. Material nature contains three modes. In the original state of the Pradhan, those modes are in complete balance, and therefore there's no manifestation of any variety. Continuing. Tata Kriya Shaktya Sutram Jnana Shaktra Mahaniti Tato Ham Ahankara Iti. Then it becomes the sutra tattva by the energy of activity, and the mahat tattva by the energy of knowledge, and then false ego. Tadeva chajivam shuddhaswarupam jivatmanam tad upalakshanakam vaikunt adi vaibhavam cha pravadanti vedaha. The Vedas, in addition, declare that the same Supreme also becomes the Jiva, the individual soul, whose essential nature is pure. And he becomes the opulences of Vaikuntha and other locations. Of course, the verse just says Jivam, but it says, no, there's no cha there. Anyway, Jiva Goswami takes as implied that there's also that the Lord also expands into his spiritual world. And the opulences of Vaikuntha and other locations, which are implied by the existence of the individual soul. There are so many souls that expand from the Lord. They live, each of them lives somewhere in a material dham or a spiritual dham. Okay. Now, it said in the verse, the Vedas, pravadanti vedaha, the Vedas declare that the Lord expands in these forms. Jiva Goswami tells us where that might be. Te cha sad eva somyedam agra asid it yadyaha. It is such statements of the Vedas as, my dear boy, in the beginning there was only the original cause that declare this. Of course, hold on a second, I want to add something. Oh. That's just a statement that the original cause was by itself, the sat. How that passage of the Veda tells us that all these different manifestations come by expansion from that sut. Well, that's in the rest of that passage. We're only given the beginning of the passage. Som eva evedam agra asit. Let's see. That's the Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. And unfortunately, I don't have the text with me. Maybe I do. Let's see what that passage says after those words. If you give me a minute, I'll open up the Chandogya Upanishad. Now, what is described after that? Chandogya 6, I don't have this. I only have the first five sections of the chapters of the Chandogya Upanishad. I don't have it with me. You have? Well, I have it in my room. It's in one of the almirahs. I don't think you could find it very quickly. Okay, we'll have to leave this hanging. Presumably, this is a description of creation. Sat was all by itself in the beginning, and then something happened after that. And it must be the evolution of the things that came out of Sat. I don't know the passage. Do you? Well, yeah, because... Yeah, because if asat means cause and sat means product, this is the other way around. This is sat that's supposed to be the ultimate cause or the supreme. So this terminology is being used in an opposite way here. Because some Upanishad passages tell us that asat only was there in the beginning. And others tell us that sat was there in the beginning. It's not that there are two different versions of creation. It's just different terminology. Some, you know, the terms are switched sometimes. It has to mean the same thing. The original cause is sometimes called sat and sometimes called asat. It's just giving different, you know, when you consider sat to mean manifest, then the products are sat and the invisible causes are asat. But it's not that they're not real. If sat means real, then the ultimate real is the sat. It's a different use of the same term. Okay. And the Upanishads are playing games with us, you know, changing the meaning of the word around. They have the prerogative to do that. Otherwise, if an ordinary person did that, it would be chala, word jugglery. In a logical argument, if you're following, you know, under strict rules, conducting a debate, and one of the contestants tries to prove a point by illegally changing the meaning of a word in the middle of an explanation, that's called chala, word jugglery. But it really means shifting, you know, not without telling anybody, changing what you mean by a word in order to prove something invalidly. It's a way of cheating. Those who conduct debates in the mode of goodness should not resort to that. They should practice just vada. Debate with the intention of finding the truth, whether it's what you proposed in the beginning or not. You know, those who are engaged in actual vada, honest debate, only want to find the truth. But those who want to prove themselves right by hook or crook, they resort to chala and vitanda. Chala is especially switching the meaning of the words around, word jugglery. And vitanda is doing whatever you can to defeat the other's argument without having any positive thing to propose of your own. Just negative nitpicking or just, you know, attacking the other person's argument without having a counter-argument. That's vitanda. So anyway, those who were the proponents of truth, They sometimes have to resort to chala. If you're defeating a person who's just wrong and who's against the principles of Dharma, if you can't defeat him any other way, you can sometimes use chala, word jugglery. It's allowed. Only in emergency situations. You do in English or in Sanskrit? Okay, do you have 6-2-1? Can you show me? Oh, I'm sorry. Why 1-6? Let's see. It's chapter 6. No, see, that's the first. I think that's the first chapter. We need the sixth chapter.
Okay, then you have to go down.
Well, okay, let's search. I can't search for the Sanskrit. Let's see. See if we can find the sixth chapter. It's the last chapter. It's the last chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. It's a big Upanishad. Okay, how far are we now? Okay, we're on the fifth chapter. We're getting there. Five, okay. Keep on going. I think there's 23 chapters there. There's six. We're a little bit too far. We're one chapter too far. 6-1, actually, we need the first chapter, first part of the sixth chapter.
6-4.
Yeah, we're this must be it. 6-2-1.
This is 6.
Okay, now we need, that's 6-1, now we need 6-2. Okay. Sadeva Swami, okay. Here, put it here. Sadeva som yedam agra asid, ekam eva dvitiyam. Sat alone was there, oh my dear boy, my dear gentle boy, Sat alone was there in the beginning of this creation. It was one without a second, or it is one without a second. Tadaika ahur, asad ev edam agra. Oh, some people say that Asat was there in the beginning. That's the next sentence. Ekam eva dutim, and that was one without a second. Tasmad asatak sad jayata. From that Asat, the Sat arose. Okay, well that means the Asat is a cause, and the original cause, and the Sat is all the products. Kutas tu kalu, this is the actual Upanishad? Okay, kutas tu kalu som yedam syad iti hovacha. Okay, so the disciple is asking, well, how is that? You know, I guess the guru says everything came from Sat, and then the disciple says, yeah, but some people say that it came from Asat. How's that? That's the disciple's question. Iti hovacha, and the guru answered, I don't know who's talking here, katam asatak sajayateti satvena somyedam agra asid satveva. Anyway, it seems like they're having a debate, a little bit of discussion about the, you know, whether the original cause should be called sat or asat. And then, okay, the third paragraph, tad aikshata bahusyam pajayeti. That Sat looked around and declared, let me become many in order to have progeny. Tattejo asvijata. And that Sat sent forth its potency. Tatteja aikshata bahu syam pajaya. And the Teja looked around and said, let me become many. Interesting. The energy is conscious and talking and thinking. Energy who has been sent forth by the Lord is contemplating, let me become many. Tat apo svijita. Okay, then the Tejas. I see Tejas here actually means fire. It's the element fire. He sent forth the element fire. The fire thought, let me become many. Tat apo svijita. So the fire manifests as the water. And it goes on. Okay, so this is describing the basic elements. I guess it's talking about three elements rather than five to simplify the situation. But how the elements evolved one from another. Because the elements don't think. This must be the deities who control the elements are doing the talking here. Okay, so it is describing the evolution of the physical elements from the Sat. That's what this passage in the Chandogya Upanishad does after the first statement. Okay, Dharmini, I can give it back.
Now,
what else do we have here? There's more to this paragraph that we didn't finish. Adav Ekam, that is from the verse of the 11th canto that we're talking about. Adav Ekam, tatas tad tad rupa tvam iti shaktek swabhavika tvam ayatam Anyasya sad bhavain aupadika twa yogat. Okay. That in the beginning he was one. And subsequently he assumed these various forms implies that his energies evolve naturally. I don't know if that's a good translation of swabhavika. It's more than that. Is that they have autonomous power? Yeah, that's not enough to just say they evolve naturally. They're autonomous. Let me make a comment. Inadequate. Okay, I'm marking it. Since it is not feasible that everything else beside him would be non-existent and thus only imaginary. Okay. I mean, if we are arguing as Mayavadis, we wouldn't recognize autonomous energies. The only energy is Maya Shakti, Avidya, which has her her parts, and you know, she divides up into different functions, but they're all illusory. They're not real. But if there were not the autonomous, real energies of the Supreme that did the expanding for him, the creation of duality, then everything but except for him, everything else we see wouldn't be unreal, wouldn't actually exist. It would only be a figment of our imagination. Okay. That means it would be that, if you say imaginary, that's the Vijnanavad Buddhist position, that everything is just a product of our own minds. Okay, there, Sarvasambandhani goes at great length, about 50 pages, to discuss this question of the real existence of the Lord's internal potency and the invalidity of the Mayavad view that it's otherwise, that there is no separate spiritual energy. But that discussion Jiva Goswami has segregated, put in the back of the book, into Sarvasambandhani, because it's too difficult for many to follow. Okay. Now, I don't have, I didn't write a commentary yet for this paragraph. I guess I had some difficulty with it. But what I've said would be what's going to be in the commentary. Yeah, we've already discussed all the points I have listed here. We've already discussed. So we'll move on to the next part that discusses further about this verse. Surupa vaibhavas yanga pratyanga van nitya siddhatvaipi surya sataya tadrashmi paramanu vindasyeva tat sataya labda saktakatvat tad upadana katvam tad adikatvam tishat tasya basa sarvamidam vibhati iti shute. This is using the terminology of Navanyaya, the sophisticated modern means starting in the 9th century, modern version of logic that was started by Udayanacharya and Gangesha, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a teacher of that school. Very sophisticated linguistic analysis of existence. And these are the kind of terms they use. Sata, sataka, you know, all these abstractions. There's, for example, according to Navanyaya analysis, according to Nyaya, the old version of Nyaya, taught by Gautama, things have qualities. Qualities inhere by the relationship of samavaya, inhere in substances, things. A ball is red. But the Gautama school of logic says that the red in one ball is different than the red in the next ball. Each entity has its own unique qualities. And even though it may look like the same color red, it's a different red. What ties all the reds together, all the red things in the world have individual reds, different reds. But there is a quality of redness that resides in all the reds, all the red colors. And then they talk about, you know, they come up with reasons for talking about rednessness. You have two suffixes in Sanskrit, tvam and ta. Both make abstractions, and they're equivalent. You can use either one. So if you got to make a ness-ness, an abstraction of an abstraction, you use both of them. And you get a word like sat, sata, sata katvam. Adding a ka just as a, you know, doesn't, the ta is allowed, you can add the ta, the ka without changing the meaning. Sataka tvam, or satak tvam. So that term is used. That is definitely Navinyaya terminology. Let's see how he translates this. I hope it came out clear. Although his essential spiritual opulences are in their every part and subpart eternally manifest. Okay? Every bit and piece of the Lord's spiritual manifestation in the spiritual world is eternal. It's eternally manifest. Still, in the same way as all the infinitesimal particles of the sun's rays derive their existence from the sun, his spiritual opulences derive their existence from his existence, having him as their ingredient source and the beginning of their being. Okay, they're all eternal. So being swabhavika means they can act on their own. But first of all, they have their own existence. And it's eternal existence. It's not that, you know, he makes them up ad hoc as he needs them, creates them, you know, at different times. No, they're all eternal. His internal energies, spiritual energies, they're eternal. Unlike the material energies would get manifest at the beginning of creation, they all not only always exist, we can say the material energy also always exists. The pradhan always exists, but sometimes it's just there and nothing's manifesting from it in between creations. But the spiritual nature not only always exists, it's always manifest. It never becomes dormant. And every single manifestation of spiritual energy, even the most minute, is also eternally manifest. If you have anything in the spiritual world, you don't have to worry about losing it. It's always there. And even so, it's still the fact that all those energies derive their existence from him, the Supreme. Just like the sun's rays are individuals' particles, infinitesimal particles, the atoms of the sun's rays. But they all derive their existence from the sun. Even though they're eternally existent, they expand from him, the Supreme. Okay. His spiritual opulences derive their existence from his, having him as their ingredient source and the beginning of their being. He's the original substance. Beside being the active creator, he's the ingredient cause and the beginning of their being. Sorry, I'm on 10-3. Tasya basa sarvamidam vibhati iti shruti. This is stated by the Shruti. By his light, all this gives forth light. All this in the material creation. That is from Stasya Basa. Yeah, okay. I'm looking for it. I'm looking in the wrong Anuchet. 136. Katha Upanishad and the Mundaka Upanishad and Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Of course, that's. I think it's the last line. What does that? Anybody know how that verse begins? Okay, let's find it. Or do I don't give it. Okay, I don't give it here in the commentary, but let's find it and read it. This is what? Kato 2, 1, 15. Or let's do Shvetashvatara because I have a translation that I did of the Shvetashvatara. 1 second. What's the number again of the verse? Of the Shvetashvatara? 614. 614, okay. Well, okay, 614, coming. 614. Natatra suryo bhati natachandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. This is describing Vaikuntha. In that world, the sun does not shine, nor the moon, the stars, or lightning, and electricity. What to speak of ordinary fire? Only as the reflection of his radiance does everything else give light. By his effulgence, now the last line that's being quoted by Jiva Goswami, by his effulgence, this entire material world is illumined. Or the way I give it here, by his light, all this gives forth light. Okay, now, continuing. Shaktir achinjatvam swabhavikatvam choktam Sri Vishnu Purani nirgunasya prameyasya shudasya pyamalatmanaha katam sargadi kartvitvam brahmano pyubagamyate iti maitreya prashna anantaram yata Sri Parashara uvacha. How his energies are inconceivable and naturally manifest is described in Sri Vishnu Purana, where Maitreya asks, first is a question, then an answer, where Maitreya asks, how can it be accepted that Brahman, which is without qualities, not measurable, pure, and never contaminated, acts in the creation and so on of the material world? That's the question of Maitreya. And Sri Parashara speaks an answer. And the answer is, Shaktayak sarvabhavanam achintya jnana gocharaha yatoto brahmanastastu sargadya bhava shaktayaha bhavanti tapatam shreshta pavakasya yatoshnata. Parashara says, since all things that exist have energies only understandable by intelligence that transcends ordinary reason, achintya jnana gochara, certainly the Supreme also has such energies in his personal nature, the potencies of creation and so on. O best of ascetics, that's Parashara talking to Maitreya, these inconceivable energies of his are like the heat of fire. Okay, now, okay, the analogy is given, the example of fire and its heat. That is, I guess it's inconceivable. We may think we understand heat of fire, but, you know, how it actually works is beyond our understanding. How fire always has heat, its inseparable quality, even when it doesn't seem, when it seems to be dormant, it's still there. This is inconceivable. So the commentary says, the essential spiritual opulences referred to here are whatever is present in the spiritual world. The Supreme Lord and his devotees, their bodies, and everything used by his devotees in serving his pleasure. Since he alone is the ultimate reality, all of this Swarup Vaibhava emanates from him by a special transcendental mode of cause and effect. Material causality is regulated by time. Material causality is regulated by time. As the sage Gotama, founder of the Nyaya school of epistemology, expresses this in his definition of karana, cause. A cause must exist previously to its effect. Spiritual causation, however, operates differently. It is timeless because God and his spiritual effects are co-eternal. In the relationship between Brahman and his Swarup Vaibhava, he is both the ingredient cause, upadana karana, and the active cause, nimitta karana. He also exists prior, adi, to the Swarup Vaibhava, not in a temporal, not in a sense of time, because that's not true. There's no time when he was there without his Swarup Shaktis, but as the one origin of which everything else are expansions. In that sense, he's logically or causally prior, even though he's not prior in time. He's not before in time. Anadir adir, Govinda sarva karana karanam, That's he's Adi. He's there first. Govinda, the beginningless beginning of all, is the cause of all causes. Even though the spiritual manifestations are eternal also, but still they're emanating from him. This is Brahma Samhita 5.1, very first statement of Brahma Samhita. In general, creative potencies are inconceivable. In general, even material ones. Since they bring things into being apparently from nowhere. The things that are created actually existed previously in potential form, but that potentiality is itself the most inconceivable aspect of creation. Finite jivas can never fully understand how the Supreme Lord's shaktis work. No jiva can become omnipotent or omniscient. And deluded souls, not empowered with spiritual intelligence, cannot understand shaktis properly at all. They can only, as empiric scientists, discover superficial so-called laws of nature. Okay. Now, Atra Sridhar Swami Tika Cha. The following is Sridhar Swami's commentary on these verses. That is the question asked by Maitreya in the Vishnu Purana and the answer by Parashara. And this is from Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Vishnu Purana, which we have. We have copies of it. Tadevam, Sridhar Swami says in his commentary on Vishnu Purana, Tadevam brahmanak shrishtyadi kartritvam uktam. Thus it has been stated that Brahman executes the creation and so on. So in the discussion between Maitreya and Parashara, Maitreya was talking about that up to that point, how everything creation comes from Brahman. Maitreya, okay, Sanskrit. Tatra shankate, nirgunas yeti satvadi guna rahitasya aprameyasya deshakaladya padichinnasya shudasya adehasya sahakari shunyas yeti va. So Maitreya, I'm putting in brackets, Sridhar Swami doesn't say that Maitreya is talking, tatra shankate, but of course it's Maitreya who asks the question. So I put in brackets, Maitreya voices a doubt about this in the verse beginning, nirgunasya. Without qualities, nirgunasya means devoid of the material modes of goodness and so on. Not measurable, aprameyasya, means not limited by space, time, and so on. Okay, it doesn't just mean that it's longer than 6 feet, so you can't measure it with your inch tape. It means that it's not bound at all by time, space, or what else? Space, time, and so on, other factors. Pure means not having a body, okay? Or else being without any co-workers. The opposite of pure is mixed. So what can you be mixed by? Well, the soul can be mixed up with a material body. That's mixture. Or an actor can have to cooperate, work with other actors. That's another kind of mixture. But if you're pure, you're all by yourself and you don't need any help. Now, uncontaminated, amalatmanaha, means devoid of conditioning by power, by piety and sin, beyond the laws of karma. Or else it means devoid of attachment and so on, uncontaminated by material attachment. So those are all qualities of Brahman. The question is, how can Brahman, which is like this, be said to execute creation and so on? How can you do it if you're nirguna, no qualities? How can you manifest qualities? If you're not limited by time and space, how can you act in time and space? And so on. If you don't have a body, how can you manifest bodies? And or if nobody's helping you, how can you get anything done? And if you're uncontaminated, how can you manifest, how can you evolve into the contaminated material world? So the good question, how can Brahman, which is like that, be said to execute creation and so on? After all, we see in this world Oh, I didn't mean the Sanskrit. I didn't read all of it. Amalatmanaha punyapapa samskara shunyasya ragadi shunyasyeti va evam bhutasya brahmanak katam sargar adi kartritvam ishyate etad vilakshanasyaiva loke gatadishu kartritvadi darshanad ityartaha. After all, we see in this world that only someone who is different than this is a maker and so on of such objects as clay pots. In other words, someone who has qualities, who is measurable, who isn't perfectly pure, who has some contamination, he's usually the one who's making something in this world. If you're perfectly satisfied in all your desires and you don't need anything, then you're not going to make anything. You're not going to work if you don't have to. And if you have no qualities, how can you do anything? How can you be anything? If you're immeasurable, how can you act in time and space? So on. Only a person who's otherwise than Brahman can be a maker of such objects as clay pots. And making a universe must be just like making clay pots. Okay, that's the question. Pariharati shaktaya iti saradena. He, Parashara, refutes this doubt in the verse and a half beginning, Shaktayaha. Okay, and what does he say? One second. Lokehi sarvesham bhavanam mani mantradinam shaktayaha achintyagana gocharaha. In this world, all things, including jewels and mantras, because jewels and mantras seem to be magic. You know, you can, you know, jewels can change your health or make you rich just by wearing them. And mantras can do similar things. All things, including jewels and mantras, have energies which are accessible only to knowledge which is inconceivable, impossible to infer by conjecture. It means you can understand them only by very, very mystical knowledge. Impossible to infer by conjecture. You can't, by ordinary logic, figure out these energies. Which is established by a presumption that the visible, okay, this knowledge is established, this inconceivable knowledge is established by a presumption that the visible effects could not otherwise have occurred. I want to make that clearer. Which inconceivable knowledge? Not which fact, but which knowledge? Excuse me, I just have to... Hare Krishna. Okay, that's marked. Okay. Achintyam tark asaham yadganam karyanyata anupapati pramanakam. Okay, there is some means of knowing, but it's not ordinary means. You can understand that there must be something inconceivable acting because you see the result and you can't have no idea what the cause is. There must be a cause. So you haven't really identified the cause, you just know there is a cause. So it's still inconceivable. But that logic points to it. That logic of called karya anyata anupapati. That you can't explain what's given other than there being a cause. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't explain the result otherwise without presuming the cause. There's snow on the ground. There must have been clouds in the sky. Snow doesn't come without clouds. So in the morning, there may be no clouds in the morning, but you see snow on the ground, you presume that there must have been clouds at night and that they dropped the snow. Okay. Tasya gochara santi. So these things are you can presume, you can presume that the inconceivable energies are there because you see the results of them. Yata evam ato brahmano pi tas tata vida shaktaya sargadi hetu bhuta bhava shaktayaha svabhava siddha shaktaya santieva. Thus it is implied. No, I skipped something. Or alternatively. I skipped one sentence. Or alternatively. Things are another way to understand the inconceivability of the cause. Things are inconceivable in the sense of being impossible to conceive of by conjectures about difference, sameness, and so on. They are only accessible to the knowledge based on presumption of cause from effect, from results. This being so, thus Brahman also has such energies. Energies manifested from his own nature, which are the causes of creation and so on, similar to fire's capacity to burn, and other energies. Oh, and its other energies is better. Okay, let me just add the word, sorry. Okay, got it. Ata eva, no, well, there's something else here. Pavakase dahakadi twadi shaktivat. Ato gunadi hina siapi achintya shakti matvat brahmanat sargadi kartvitvam gatata iti artaha. This being so, thus Brahman also has such energies, inconceivable energies. Energies manifested from his own nature, which are the causes of creation and so on, similar to fire's capacity to burn and other energies. Okay. Ata eva tasya nirash ankusham aishvaryam tata cha shrutihi. Sava ayam asya sarvasya vashi sarvasya shanaha sarvasya dipati ityadi. Thus it is implied, although Brahman has no material qualities or other attributes, still, by possessing inconceivable energies, he can be the doer of creation and so on. There are also such statements of Shruti as, he is not obliged to work and has no material senses to carry out work. No one... Wait, that's not the same verse. Oh, I jumped down. Okay. How did I do that? What was I reading? Okay, Shrutischa. Okay, I didn't read the Shruti. Shrutischa. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natatsamascha bhyagirikat cha drishyate. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Swabhaviki gana balakriyacha. That's back in the... We were reading... We had one sloka. Verse 23, was it? Or 21 from Shvetashvatara, 6th chapter. This is also from Shvetashvatara, 6th chapter, verse 18. And another statement, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. That is, I think, from Katha Upanishad. No, it's also Shvetashvatara, but 4th chapter. So those two shrutis say, what is this? Sorry. There are also such statements of Shruti as, quote, he is not obliged to work and has no material senses to carry out work. No one can be found equal to him or greater. As we hear from Scripture, his own superior energy has her manifold aspects, knowledge, power, and movement, jnana bala kriya, that act autonomously, swabhaviki. And the other statement, Also from Shvetashvata Upanishad, no material nature to be the energy of illusion, and the Supreme Lord to be the possessor of that illusory energy. Continuing, Yadyevam Yojana, Sarvesham Bhavanam Bhavakos Yoshnata Shaktivad, Achintya Gyana Gocharak Shaktiha Shaktayaha Santyeva, Brahmanak Punasta Swabhava Bhuta Surupa Rabina Shaktayaha, Parasya Shaktir Vividai Vishriyate Iti Shute. So if we read that verse that was spoken by Parashar and the Vishnu Purana in answer to Maitreya about the inconceivable energies of the Lord, we could read it a different way, and still the basic meaning comes out the same. So if... wait a minute. If it can be construed, because this is all, it's in quotes, because we're still reading Sridhar Swami's commentary on Vishnu Purana here. If it can be construed that all things which exist have energies known only by inconceivable knowledge, it means the verse. Wait a minute. So I have to make a comment here. Not just it in general, but if the verse can be construed. I'll be right back. Hold on a second. I got to select this. Okay. If the verse of Parashara's answer can be construed that all things which exist have energies known only by inconceivable knowledge, like the heating power of fire, then it follows that Brahman also has such energies, which are of his own nature, non-different from his essential self. This is confirmed by the Shruti statement. The revealed scriptures say that the Supreme has many kinds of energies. Parasa Shaktir Vividai Vishriyate. Ato mani mantradibir agnyaushnyavan nakena chid vihantum shakyante. Therefore, just as no one can undo the heat of fire by gems, mantras, or any other means, so the Supreme's power of control is irrepressible. Nothing can stop it. As is also stated in Shruti, Tatacha Shrutihi Savayam Asya Sarvasya Vashi Sarveshana Sarvasyadipati. That's the one I read by mistake before. Ityadi. He is indeed the controller of everything in this world, the Lord and Master of everything. Yata evam ato brahmano hetok sargadya bhavanti natra kachid anupapattihi ityesha. That's the end of the commentary by Sridhar Swami. Commentary on the Vishnu Purana verse. Consequently, material creation and so on are caused by Brahman, and there is nothing inconsistent in saying this. Okay, we're out of time, but let's just read the commentary. Minds trained up in the mode of material science know only concrete causes of concrete things and processes. They can fathom reality as physical and to some extent mental, but for them spiritual existence is unapproachable, is approachable only by belief, and cannot be scientifically measured and analyzed. Even if there existed a spiritual entity according to the way the Upanishads and other religious texts define spirit, it could not be a cause in the ordinary sense. This is what scientists are thinking. Because it would be totally imperceptible, would have no mass or spatial extension, and so presumably would undergo no process of change in time. The minds of the impersonalist Vedantists are supposed... The minds of the impersonalist Vedantists are supposed to acknowledge the reality of the pure spirit underlying all existence, But just like the materialistic scientists, they deny the immaterial supreme's energies by which he acts as the cause of all causes, extending himself in both the spiritual and material space-time continua. As examples of things in this world whose active potencies are inconceivable, traditional Indian philosophers often cite gems, mantras, and medicinal herbs. Gems are recognized to have special power for ameliorating bad karma, at least when they are of appropriate size and purity. Different gems have different effects. If an astrologer tells you to get some gem and just wants to get a few hundred rupees from you, he'll give you a cheap gem that doesn't have any good effect. A proper astrological calculation would be that you need an expensive gem of good quality and right size, correct size, and only rich people, kings and rich people, could afford such a thing. Different gems have different effects. Mantras communicate our desire to the higher beings who control the cosmos and can be used with the help of these deities for anything from curing snake bites to attaining love of God. Natural medicines also have useful effects that are inexplicable. The Puranic explanation is that the creator, Brahma, imparted special therapeutic potencies to each kind he created of the herbs and minerals, which form the main ingredients of most Ayurvedic medicines. Logic is useful in extending knowledge beyond what can be perceived directly, but in real life, its applications are limited. Simple logic depends on universal facts, like all men are mortal. All men are mortal. If indeed all men are mortal, and if Socrates is indeed a man, then we can conclude logically that Socrates is mortal. But most things have mysterious capacities not easily describable as universal facts. Someone who does not eat cannot become fat. We never see David Dutta eating, but undeniably he's fat. Simple logic fails to explain this, but a complex kind of logic involving negation and alternatives called anyata anupapati, or artapati by Indian logicians, and it's called disjunctive hypothetical reasoning by Westerners, can be followed. Without eating, no one can become fat. Devadatta does not eat in the daytime. But there is an alternative, that he must be eating at night. Anyatanupapati leads us to conclude that yes, he is eating at night. This kind of reasoning is indicated by the words akshinja jnana gochara, which can be read as saying either that this kind of knowledge acquisition is achintya, beyond the scope of simple logic, or else that it deals with situations that are achintya, otherwise impossible to analyze. Okay, actually, even such logic, such convoluted logic, still won't give you the absolute truth. It'll just give you the presumption that there must be an absolute truth. What it is and how to contact it, that is beyond any logic. It can reveal itself and give you association with itself, but logic cannot conquer the supreme. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.